Bruchim Haboyim, everybody, to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Koirach, and the Ezras Hashem, hopefully, as we say each and every week from the Shir, we'll be able to have not only greater insight into Parshas HaShavuah, but to be able to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. You know how meaningful it would be if over Shabbos, there are Baruch Hashem many, many people here this year, if a person over Shabbos Kodesh will take some of the Divrei Torah Pshatim and share with others, either perhaps at their Suda, wherever they see somebody on Shabbos Kodesh, bringing a greater oineg and a greater geshmak to our Shabbos, it would make the shir each and every week even that much more meaningful. The entire year, the shir is dedicated to Zeichen Nishmas, Uli Ili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel, the Neshama Tahir Zal Habin, a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden, as we come together, b'siyata d'shmaya meruba, to enjoy and learn from Parsha Insights, Parshas Koirach. Obviously, it would be impossible, probably the better word would be wrong, to learn Parshas Koirach and not talk about the evils of Machlokes. Because whenever one speaks about Machlokes or Machlokes that's not l'shem shemayim, as it's brought down in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, we talk about that of Koirach the Adosai. And so let's just mention some fundamental ideas about Machlokes, because there is a Medrash, Chazal tell us, that the man fell every day during the 40 years. Of course, I'm not referring to on Shabbos, but every day that the man was supposed to fall, the man did fall. The one exception was on the day that Koirach created the Machlokes against his cousins, against Moshe, against Aaron, when he did what he did, on that day the man did not fall. Heaven, so to speak, went on strike. National sustenance was suspended. Chazal tell us that every day, 40 years, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times, the man would fall min hashamayim without fail. The one day that national sustenance was suspended and the man did not fall was on the day of the Machlokes of Koirach. Such is the power of Machlokes, the bickering, the arguing, the dissension, and the division, the divisiveness that it could create. Chazal tell us that one Machlokes could be doicha and push off mea parnosais, 100 livelihoods, which would certainly explain the first Chazal that we said about the man, so to speak, going on strike on the day of Machlokes. Rabbeisai, did we hear what we just said? The Chsam Sefer, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, speaks about it. The Chsam Sefer mentions this. Machlokes Achas, one Machlokes has the ability to be Deicha, to push off so much, Rachmanu Litzlan Chalila, so much extraordinary parnas and livelihood. You take a look at the root of the word Machlokes, the shayresh etymologically of Machlokes, the middle three letters, Ches Lamed Kuf, is Chelek. Because when you tend to focus on the Chelek, a part of a person, that will breed Machlokes. There's going to be something about a person, part of them that you don't approve of, that you dislike, that you're judgmental about. When you focus, when we focus on chelek, a part of a person, that will generally bring in its wake machlekes. But take a look at the root. The antithesis of machlekes is shalom. What's the root of the word shalom? Peace, shin lamed mem, shalem, shalemus. To look at the entirety of the person. When you look at the entirety of the person, there are certainly things that you will like and appreciate, certainly things that you could understand and relate to. And when you look at the entirety of the person, we tend, as we said a number of weeks ago, not to be so judgmental, because as we said multiple times, everyone is going through something that you know nothing about. And that really is what is at the root of machlokes, or the opposite, shalom. When a person focuses on the chelek, a part of, this I dislike, this I can't appreciate, this I can't relate to, that will bring machlokes. But when a person will look at shalom, the entirety of the person, either the things that, well, I don't know that I would respond or react any better or differently. And I can't be judgmental, not for the least of which is because I don't know what they're going through. And when I look at the entirety of a person, I remember all the wonderful things that he or she did. The phone calls that were there, the visits that were there, the invitations that were there, the care and concern and the kind word that was there. And so when you focus on the shalemus, that brings shalom. So what's it going to be, Rabbi Yisai? Another year of Parshas Korach, another year of repeating the Torah that we've said, the devastation and the divisiveness that machlokes brings, or especially as we now begin Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and I should say to each and every one, a gebenchte gesunte Chodesh, a Chodesh that's filled with refuos, yeshuos, nechamos, besuros, toivos, for ganz klal Yisrael, yamali Hashem kol mashalas libchem l'toiva, and yes, of course, I'm referring to those here live, those on the telephone, and those who hear the recording. Yishtaka bia gebenchte gesunte Chodesh, approaching the 3 weeks, we should be zaycha to turn them from yogling to simcha, from afeila l'or hagadol. But it can't just be another week of reading Parshas Korach and not internalizing the lessons. Perhaps the following is a good piece of advice to help us focus on the shleimus and bring shalom, and not focus on the chelek and bring machlokes. Take a look at the Rashi in the very beginning of the parasha of Vayikach Korach. I'm honored that you're following along with me. Vayikach Korach, Lokach, second Rashi, Lokach es atzmei letzad echad. Literally, it means that he put himself on one side, whereas everyone else was on the other side. But he put himself up Rashi Litzad Echad. Years ago, I heard an extraordinary gematria as it relates to this Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha to go ahead and help us better understand what we could do to remove machlokes and bring about shalom. You see, a person has to realize they're about to get into a fight, a discussion, or something that seems to be unpleasant where they vociferously disagree with a person. But if a person would be a pikeach means to be a wise person, a smart, intelligent person. A pikeach is one who thinks before they speak. As we've said many times, the last pasuk of Megillas Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yomeinu kekedem. Kedem is spelled Kuf Dalad Mem. It's Rosh Tevis. Kedem Dibur Machshava. Think before you speak. Kedem Kuf Dalad Mem. Kedem Dibur Machshava. How many fights and machlokes and arguments would be avoided if people would do kedem? Koidem dibur machshava, think before you speak. Because when a person does that, what they want to say at a later point in time comes out differently. It's thought out. It's not with the anger. It's not with the impetuousness, the impulsiveness. So a pikeach, mayayver Rabbi Yisai, will think, well, maybe there's another. The person's presenting me their side of the story. But maybe there's another side. As I said a few moments ago, everyone is going through something that you know nothing about. So if Pikeach would realize that although I'm hearing one side, maybe there's another side. Maybe it was said differently. Maybe it happened differently. Maybe the person was under untold duress. That's a Pikeach, a wise person who avoids arguments. Rabbi Yisai, the word to take aside, Rashi says it's tzad, tzadi dalad. Tzadi dalad is begematria 94. So when, let's say, we're facing each other, before we get into an argument, I realize that the side you're presenting, but maybe it happened differently, maybe it wasn't said by the other as negatively, so there's your tzad and the other tzad. Tzad is 94, but if I look at two sides of the story, 94 times 2, tzad and tzad, is 188. The word to be a wise and smart person is pikeach. Pei kuf ches is begematria 188. What makes a person a pikeach, a wise person, is realizing there's that tzad, but perhaps there's another tzad. It was said differently. It didn't quite happen that way. Maybe it was embellished. Maybe it was an under-exaggeration. You know, sometimes one word could totally change the meaning. And then let's revisit the shidduch, the business partnership, the family. Now, in this discussion, there's me and you. I must be a pikeach, but you have to be a pikeach as well. I must realize there's one side and another, but you must as well. I'm a pikeach, and you're a pikeach. Pikeach, we said a moment ago, is 188. But if I'm a pikeach and you're a pikeach, 188 times 2 is 376. And the word shalom, as an everlasting peace, shin lamed vav mem, is 376. I meant to say 376. Pikeach, 188. And you, the other party being a pikeach, is also 188. Together, as we said a moment ago, is 376. And the word shalom, shin lamed vav mem, is 376. Pile ployim of a gematria. Simple, elegant, a beautiful gematria to keep in mind. Now that you heard it, let's try to implement it and act upon it. The next time, whatever it is comes up, I'll remember I have to hear that side and the other side. Maybe I should view it from the other side of the story. Tzad and tzad creates pikeach. But if I'm willing to be a pikeach, and you're willing to be a pikeach, the two come together to create 376, which is shalom, everlasting peace. We should talk of bizaycha before we continue with the next pshat to realize. When we learn the parsha, let's learn what it means to try to bring about that everlasting shlemus, shalom, to be the pikeach. That would taka bring the siyata d'shmaya, a gebenchte, gesunte chaydesh. If a person takes a look a little bit later on, Perek Yud Zayin, take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. In this Pasuk, we're being told that the Magefa that was unleashed against Bnei Yisrael, one that brought death and destruction, again, I ask you to please look at Yud Zayin, Yud Gimel. The Pasuk tells us that Moshe ordered Aaron to take a pan filled with the Ketores, the burning incense, and then we're told that the plague, the Magefa, halted. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayamid bein ha-meisim u'bein ha-chayim v'te'otzar ha-magefa. The plague was checked, meaning the plague halted and stopped. Then the Pasuk tells us, after Moshe Rabbeinu indeed knew the secret of the Ketores, how it could stop the deadly plague. Two psukim later, we find what seems to be a repetition. Vayoshev, that was what Moshe told Aaron. It worked. Vayoshev Aaron el Moshe el Pesach el Moed v'ha magefa ne'etzora. Once again, doesn't it seem like this pasuk tezvav is simply repeating what we were told two psukim earlier, that he came back to Moshe? And now we're told the same fact once again, that the plague stopped. Mayra Verabai say two things we have to analyze. Number one, why does the Torah reiterate what seems to be already mentioned, as I showed you at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel, that they utter Hamagefa, and then two psukim later, the same phraseology, Vamagefa ne'etzar. And secondly, And it's really the second question that answers the first. Why does the Torah have to tell us, Vayoshev Aaron El Moshe, that Aaron returned to his brother Moshe Rabbeinu? What are we being taught with that idea that Aaron returned? I saw an extraordinary pshat. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, Reb Chaim brings down a Medrash Lekach Tov that tells us, and really it's something that we hear from time to time, and we can certainly appreciate this extraordinary insight that Reb Chaim brings down. Sometimes a person goes to a tzaddik or to the gadol and says, I need something daven for, could you please daven? We find a Gemara that tells us somebody has a chayil in the bayis, yelech etzel chacham, you go to the chacham, he davens on your behalf. How many times have we heard that unfortunately, after the tefillah was answered, l'toiva, the child was Baruch Hashem born healthy, bari v'shalem. The refuah was granted min hashamayim. Did you go back to the gadol and let them know the good news? Did you go back to the tzaddik, the talmid chacham, whoever you asked to daven on your behalf? Do we have any idea how many tears, how much fasting, how many heartfelt tefillos, the krechzing, the sighing, the tzebrochenkeit that they went through on our behalf, the Einei HaEda, who are the epitome of being nice ba'olam chaveray? Does the person go back and say and place? You know how much the person would appreciate that call, that you're letting them know the child was born, the bris took place, the blood report came back, and it was with a wonderful result. The shidduch ended up happening. The business deal actually went through in a beautiful way. There's so much that we turn to the gedolim, to our leaders, to Einei HaEda, and ask them to daven. Do we realize how much to heart they take it? With all the things that I said, the Naisim Olam Chaveiroi, and the fasting, and the Tzabrochenkeit, and the Tfilois, and the tears. The proper thing is after the salvation is achieved and after the tefillah is answered, share the good news with the tzaddik. It will gladden his heart. Especially with all the different things that a tzaddik or a gadol might hear. You know how, first of all, besides that it's an inyan of hakaras hatov, but do you know how wonderful it makes the person feel? It gladdens them. They could be besimcha now. It's the right thing to do. There's no other way to say it. Reb Chaim bringing down the Medrash Lekach Tov tells us that's precisely what's being filled in these psukim, and that answers our two questions. After Aaron listened to what Moshe Rabbeinu told him, when Moshe Rabbeinu told him and knew the secret of how it could be ended, the Magefa, he told it to Aaron how to save the people. The Pasuk is now telling us that after there was an end to the deadly plague, what does the Pasuk say? Vayashav Aaron El Moshe. He went back to him. Myrizik, Nayra Nayroish. Why did he go back to him? Why is the Torah telling it to us? He went back to him to report the good news to Moshe Rabbeinu. He got the advice from Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a Magefa. And he got the advice of Moshe Rabbeinu how to halt it. So Vayashav, he went back to report the good news. Just as it was so necessary to inform Moshe Rabbeinu about the Magefa, to ask him to intercede before the Ribbono Shel on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it was equally, Rabbi Sai, equally important to report back and deliver the good news. It's an extraordinary pshat. And one that I think all of us could apply, because we do turn to people and share with them things and ask them to keep us in mind and daven on our behalf. When that tefillah is answered and the besurah tov has been delivered, b'chasdei hagadol, go back, report, gladden and lighten the heart of the one that you told it to, that told it to you originally. And that's what the pasuk is teaching us. We asked why it says a second time, V'amagefa ne'etzara, because V'ayoshev Aaron El Moshe, he went back to Moshe. Moshe is the one who told it out to intercede. He went back to his brother and said, I want you to know the good news. I want to share and inform you that Netzara HaMageifa, that's the right thing to do, and it's something we could all relate to. Take a look a little bit later on. The Pasuk tells us, Tez Zion, I apologize, a few Pesukim earlier, in Tez Zion Zion, when Rashi is speaking about Korach towards the beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk tells us, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, a few Pesukim before Sheni, Tez Zion, Zion. I saw a pshat from Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. I was so taken by this beautiful, beautiful pshat. It's so telling into who we are. If you take a look, Rashi tells us that Korach was an intelligent person, so Rashi wants to know, if you look at Rashi on this pasuk, so what led him to this foolishness? So the first question one has to wonder on Rashi is, why does Rashi term Korach and his response as one of foolishness? Why doesn't Rashi call it rishus? It was wickedness. To do what he did was a maisa that was wicked. Why does Rashi look at what he did as foolishness and not as something that was wicked? But more than that, if you take a look at the Medrash over here brings down that who was it that incited Korach to rebel? We know it was his wife. Of course, we know the famous Chazal and Apostle that teaches us Chochmas Noshim Bon Shebeisa, that it's the wise woman that builds the home. And we know that from the wife of Oyn Ben Peles, as opposed to the wife of Korach, who incited him to rebel. She argued, the Medrash says, that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed his brother as Kohen Gadol and left you to carry the heavy Aroin. Now, they zok the Medrash. But how do you understand the Medrash? The heavy Aroin? What was heavy about carrying the Aroin? Chazal teaches us, we know when it came to the Mishkan that it was weightless. It had no weight at all. We know it says about the Aron, Aron Noisei Es Noisav, that it had the ability to carry the carriers. In other words, the one who carried the Aron, because it was weightless, expended no energy at all when walking. So what was Korach and his wife complaining about when they said, and all you got was to carry the heavy Aron? What was heavy about the Aron? If it's Aron Noisei Es Noisav and it's weightless, it's certainly not heavy at all. Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, answers both questions. The one about why could she possibly refer to it as the heavy Aron, that doesn't seem to be accurate in any way, shape, or form, and why Rashi refers to Koyach with a foolishness and not a rishus. Zuck Rav Scheinberg, in life, whether something is easy or difficult, really in any endeavor, it depends on my attitude. It depends on a person's attitude. And that's true with everything in life. If a person's attitude is one, besimcha or positive, then that makes whatever the endeavor is that much easier to handle, as opposed to a person who's negative, pessimistic, angry, jealous. With those types of attitudes, obviously the endeavor becomes that much more difficult. Zuchter of Scheinberg, what is our relationship? We spoke about this a little bit around Shavuos time. What is our relationship regarding the Torah HaKadosha? What is our relationship vis-a-vis how we feel the power of the Torah to carry a person? In fact, we explained it very beautifully at the time with a mashal from the Duvna Magid. It's a very, very well-known mashal. But how could it not be repeated? It's mamash what Rav Scheinberg is teaching us. The fellow checks into the hotel, and he takes his suitcase, his luggage, he puts it by the concierge, he goes up to his room on the fourth floor, the elevator is broken, the concierge carries it up a few flights, and when he opens up the door, he's so out of breath, and he says to the fellow, I carried up your luggage. What do you have in here? Boulders? I'm mamish not breathing. What are you, boulders, rocks? So horrified, the fellow says, boulders and rocks? No, I had in my suitcase diamonds. You must have taken the wrong luggage. You must have taken somebody else's suitcase because mine had diamonds. Diamonds aren't difficult to carry. Diamonds aren't heavy to carry. If you feel that it was heavy, you took the wrong luggage. Zokta Duvna Magid. How do we view the life of the Torah HaKadosha, of living like a frum yid? We have to view it as diamonds. I want to say, as I often say, and don't make a mistake, that doesn't mean that there aren't difficulties. That doesn't mean there aren't challenges and trials and tribulations. But what's the attitude? What's the attitude towards that endeavor of the beauty of Ashreinu Matoid, Manoyim Mayofa, being able to live a Torah lifestyle? If we view it constantly, that it's boulders and heavy rocks, Meira V'Rabbeisai, we have taken the wrong package. We're to view it as diamonds, as I quoted the Pasuk a moment ago, Ashreinu to such a nation, Matoiv Manoyim Mayofa, our view of the person, the situation. It might be difficult, it might be a challenge, but I don't view it as the burden of a boulder. It's diamonds. The more we learn Torah, the more we attach ourselves to the Torah HaKadosha, the more we're Avdei Hashem, the more you and I know that that is the truth. In fact, I once thought maybe we could say that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos says, have a ratz l'mitzvah kala, which literally means you should run to perform a light mitzvah. But I once thought perhaps we could punctuate it by putting the comma, the pause, after the third word. Have a ratz l'mitzvah. When you run to do a mitzvah, kala. It should be light. It should be easy. It should be diamonds. It should be a thing of pleasure. How many times have we said that to transmit the Torah to our Kinderlach and to the next generation as a Shira? The Baron Kotler, Zechet Tzadik, Kodesh Levracha, used to be Masber. That's why that Pasuk I just referenced doesn't say the name Torah, but it says, V'atol Kisru Lechem Es Hashira Hazois, for Torah to have that perpetuity from dar le dar, children to Einikloch, Einikloch to their Einikloch. Give it over as a Shira. Give it over as a melodious song. Give it over as diamonds. And when a person does that and gives it over as a Shira, then you know that you've taken the right package. Have a ratz l'mitzvah. When you run to do a mitzvah kala, make sure it's light, it's a shira, it's geschmack. And that's, as Rav Scheinberg answers, the two questions. Certainly what Kairach did, his action was wicked. But we ask the question, why does Rashi now refer to it as wicked, but rather refer to it as a foolishness, even though his action taka was wicked? Because the only way he could have stooped so low, the only way he could have caused that machlekes and he could have caused that terrible rebellion is precisely because of the foolishness of confusing the privilege with what his wife told him, carrying the heavy aron. We asked the question, the aron is not heavy. The aron was weightless. The aron is nice, say it's nice of. Yes, that's for us. That's the way we view the aron. We view it as weightless. We view it as aron, nice, say it's nice of. We view it as a privilege. We view it as diamonds. But when you don't view it that way, the aron doesn't carry you. When you view it as boulders, then the aron does not carry you. Then it becomes, like his wife told him, a heavy aron, a burden. So Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Levracha, answers both of the questions with the explanation, although, of course, his actions were wicked, but it was the foolishness of confusing the privilege with thinking that it's a boulder, confusing the privilege with an aron being a heavy aron. And then that could bring, as we started this year, a bitter machlekes for Parnassa and the Mun to be suspended. I hope Ezra Hashem were able to finish this year the same way we started it, with an understanding that to be able to live and attach ourselves to the Torah HaKdosha, diamonds, a shira, a geshmak, the ato kislu lachem es ashira hazeis, as we said already twice and we say again, sometimes it's with a difficulty or a challenge, greater or smaller, but we try. What is our attitude? What is our attitude towards the people and towards the Torah and to being Ovdei Hashem? We should taka bizaycha, as we said, to have a gebenchta gesunte chodesh filled with besurais tovos and simchas and yiddish and nachas and refuais and yeshuais. But remember, Rabbi Yisai, with the attitude of the geshmak and the shir of the Torah HaKdosha, that the Oren carries us, make no mistake, it's Oren Naisei Es Naisav. We should be zeicha to be a pikeach. The other person should be zeicha to be a pikeach, because as we said when we started, pikeach and pikeach brings about shalom, and we should talk about zeicha to a gebenchte gesunte shalom dekachaydash.